hosting on the not normal night. Thank you for coming out. I know some people were thrown off by the wrong night, and it's going to be this way, I think, till things settle down. Things are very hectic. I don't know. Like, I don't even know what night is it. Right. Monday night next week. I don't know. Every week is a little bit different. The time is going to be off, but Bez Hashem will have opportunities to learn together. And this week is, of course, a double parsha of Bahar B'Chukosai, and each one really deserves its own treatment. Aside from the fact that Lag BaOmer is tomorrow night. Tonight is Lev BaOmer, the heart of the Omer, right? Omer, if you didn't count yet, tonight's 32. 4 weeks and 4 days to the Omer. And we know Omer is broken up into two parts. There's the Lev and then there's the Tov. So what we're going to learn tonight is really about Lev. Really what we're going to learn tonight from Parshas Bahar, I don't even know if we'll get into B'chukosai, has to do a lot with the Lev of the Torah, with the heart of Torah. And the learning tonight is a special zechus sponsored anonymously, that the learning will be a zechus for those that are sponsoring tonight. So we're going to start in Parshas Bahar, Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk Lamed Hei, with one word that seems off. And if you look at the translation is very awkward. V'chi yamuch achicha, when your brother becomes impoverished, falls on hard times, umata yado imach. Umata yado means, and his hand falters. What does it mean, imach, with you? Take the word imach out. V'achzaktabo, you shall strengthen him. Ger v'soshav, whether it's a stranger, whether it's a toshav, whoever those are, we're not going to get into that. V'chayimach, and they should live with you. So the question is, what does that word imach really mean? Umata yado imach. And his hand will falter. Like if you look in the art scroll, I think it says in proximity to you. Again, a very awkward translation. It doesn't really fit. What does this word imach mean? What's it doing here? So the Medrash makes it worse. Because the Medrash says, Hadahu dechsiv, what does it mean? Umata yado imach. And his hand will fall, his hand will slip with you. Hadahu dechsiv, imishle perik yud aleph, pasuk yud zayin, gomel nafsho ish chesed. Gomel nafsho ish chesed, what does that mean? That a person of kindness is doing good to their soul, is gomel, is bestowing upon their soul, it should be gomel nefesh chavero ish chesed. That a person who does an act of kindness is bestowing good unto someone else's soul. So there's a beautiful, beautiful teretz that really was shared in a shiur given many years ago by the Panovitcher Rav. The Panovitcher Rav, Rav Yosef Kahneman, Zechusi Agen Aleinu, Zechitzad, the Kaddish of Racha. We've discussed the Panovitcher Rav many, many times. To understand this drasha that he gave in the big Shul in B'nai Brak, you have to understand a little bit historical context. There were a group of orphans known as the Yaldei Tehran. Heard of Yaldei Tehran? There are streets in Israel, Rehov Yaldei Tehran. Who were the Yaldei Tehran? These were Polish children. Half of them were under the age of 14. That a few years into the war, they were without parents. How they came to Tehran, they wound up in Iran. Mamish. It was a long, convoluted trip for them into Russia, back, the treaty with Poland. And ultimately, they make it to Israel, Erev Purim, caught in February 18th, 1943. Over 1,000 children, half of them under, as we said, the age of 14. Half a year later, another 200 children joined them. Now, here's where it gets a little political, a little bit murky. Where did the Israeli government place the Yaldei Tehran, right? Or where did the Jewish agency have them placed? Primarily in secular kibbutzim, and children that grew up, that had payas and whatnot, so it was a big scandal, were being fed not kosher, had their payas shaved off, were told that in Israel you don't have to keep mitzvos anymore. And it was quite a scandal. And this was actually one of the early reckonings that the Haredi community had, and even the Dati Lumi community. Chief Rabbi Herzog went crazy. The chief rabbi of Israel went crazy about this. He says, how are you putting it? We have religious homes. We have religious places. Why are you putting them here? And it became a huge fight. There were stories, clandestine yeshiva bachrim literally dug, tunneled under the fences to go into these camps where these kids were being kept to teach them Torah, to sing with him. They're wild stories. And again, as I said, there's a lot of different views of exactly what happened with the Yaldei Tehran. Again, the fact that they were saved was obviously tremendous, unbelievable. It's an unbelievable story of just salvation. But what happened when they came to the land was a very big controversy. But it so happened that the Panovich Rav was very connected, and he managed to get a very large group of these Yaldei Tehran under his care in Bnei Brak. He was given a tremendous amount of these kids, and the problem was, Panovich Rav like brings him to Bnei Brak middle of the day, and he's like, okay, where are we putting them? And so he had some buildings to put them in. It's starting to come nightfall, and he doesn't have anything for them. So Panovich Rav quickly sends out messengers all over Bnei Brak, you know, the loudspeakers on top of the cars, that the Rav, the Panovich Rav, is giving a drasha. Everyone has to come. The big shul in Bnei Brak, 8 o'clock tonight, the big shul is packed. Panovich Rav is an amazing, amazing speaker. Shul is packed. Ezer's Noshim is packed. And the Panovich Rav says that I want to share with you a stira, a contradiction between two gemaras. There's a famous gemara in Bava Metzia that tells us that if you're walking in the desert and you have a canteen, and then there's another person that you meet up with, who gets the canteen? Are you chayiv to split the canteen with that other person if that means that you're not going to make it out of the desert? And the answer is no. The halacha is chayecha kodmin. Your life comes first. It's in fact a pasuk in this week's parsha. It's the next pasuk. V'chayachicha imach, that your brother should live with you, meaning that first you have to live and then the other person can live, right? So you take priority over another person. He said the problem is the Gemara in Kiddush and the Avchav tells us that was Bav Metzia Samach Beis. The Gemara in Kiddush and the Avchav tells us this is the shir that he shares. Everyone packs and hears his drasha. And he says the Gemara in Kiddush and the Avchav tells us that Kana Eved, Kana Rabo, Kana Adam La'atzmo. That if you acquire an Eved Ivri, right? Person stole, a person doesn't have money to pay back what they stole, so they're sold by the Bezdin into servitude. So they're sold. You could buy that person to be your Eved for 6 years. But yet the halacha is Kana Eved, Kana Adon La'atzmo. If you buy an Eved, you just bought a master for yourself. What does that mean? The Gemara tells us that if you have one pillow in the house, who gets the pillow? You know who gets the pillow? The Eved gets the pillow. Not you. So the Panovich Rav asked, I don't get it. How does this make sense? I thought we said, that who comes first? When you have one thing, who comes first? You come first. So if you come first, then why, when you have an Eved, a servant, do you have to give them the pillow? There's only one pillow. It's not your kid. Right, Tara? We know your mother would give you the pillow, right? Of course.
Maybe because that isn't actually sacrificing your life.
Well, that's true. It's not sacrificing your life. That's excellent. That's excellent. But the Panovich Rav had a little bit of a different answer. You know what the Panovich Rav says? He says, let's take a step back and think, who is it exactly that's nimkar b'gnevaso? Who's the person that sold because he stole? And again, that someone's going to be willing to buy his service for 6 years. Clearly, we're not talking about a professional thief. Professional thief, you want to buy a professional thief to be a servant in your house? Guess what's going to start happening? Right? Every day, things are going to start missing. The picture's not going to be in the world. Chandelier's going to be gone one day. Like, nothing's going to be here. No one's going to buy a professional thief. Who's nimkar b'gnevaso that a person would buy their service? He says, you know what it is? We're talking about a person who fell on hard times. Could be, you see, that a guy you went to yeshiva with, a guy who's in shir with you, is being sold because Nabuchi came on really, really hard times. He has a family to support. He couldn't do anything. He was at wit's end. He stole. And Lamaisa, he doesn't have what to pay back. And so he's sold as an Eved. And that first night, the Panovitcher Rav says, you bring him to your house. He looks like he says, I'll be a good worker, I'll help you out. You bring him to your house and you realize, oh no, you have one pillow. What are you going to do? He says, think about where this guy is, who is a Nimkar B'gnei Vassal. This guy was sold because he stole, because he was in such a difficult situation. And now, Bizyonos on top of Bizyonos, disgraces upon disgraces, he has to work off his debt. I mean, that's what it is. He's working off a debt. He needs to be rehabilitated. He needs someone else to help him take care of his family like this, in such a mevuzdika way, such a disgraceful way. He's so embarrassed. And now he comes to your house, and you don't have a pillow for him. You're like, you know what? I don't have a mattress for you. I'm so sorry. The Panovitcher Rav says, when the Adon, when the master, then goes to lie down in his bed, and he thinks of this Eved that he just bought, this Eved who's had such a difficult time, this Eved who was struggling with so many things, says, you think the Adon's going to be able to go to sleep in the bed? He said, the Adon's not going to be able to go to sleep in the bed. So you know why the Adon really gives the Eved the mattress and the pillow? Why does he give it to the Eved? Because that's what he's really doing for himself. Meaning for himself, he's like, listen, I can't sleep knowing that you're in this matzav. Here, you take the mattress, you take the pillow. So he says, when we say kana eved, kana adon la'atzma, what does this really mean? It means, no, chayach yichaymach, that you live first. But what the Torah HaKadosh is telling us, what the Gemara and Kiddushin is telling us, is that a Jew should be in a place that when another Jew is broken, when another Jew is in such a difficult situation, it should bother you so much. And the Panovitcher Rav said, he said, I have Yisomim, Ein Lahem Av, Ein Lahem Aim. Their mom, she came to our town to be able to be educated al pi derech haTorah. He said, you're going to be able to sleep in your mattress tonight, in your pillow tonight, when these kids have nothing to lie down on? He said, how could that be? He said, you're not going to be able to sleep in your house, on your mattress, comfortable with your pillow, knowing that these kids are in the orphanage. I don't have mattress for them. They're going to be sleeping on a floor. He says, please, take care of yourself and bring me your mattresses and pillows so you can sleep better tonight. And they say that it wasn't 5 minutes till the Panovitcher Rav had to say, okay, enough. We don't need any more mattresses. We don't need any more pillows. We have enough. This is what the Sfarim say is umata yado imach, that when a Jew's hand slips, imach, it has to be that your hand slips. It has to be that you feel this same pain. And the Pirkei Avos Shir, we spoke about the Zeta Reb Matel. We spoke about Reb Mordechai Dov Tversky, the grandfather of Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, the Zeta Reb Matel, who was the Rebbe of Hornestadbel, right? Where the stipler came from. That's how it came up, that Dr. Tversky would send letters to the stipler, and the stipler answered them because the stipler remembered the Zeta Reb Matel, or Mordechai Dov. So one time it happened that he developed a very, very bad cough, a horrible, horrible cough. And his family said, you have to go to the expert. You have to go. So where was the big city that they went to? Kiev, right? Hornestadbel's in the Ukraine. So they went to Kiev. That was where the big doctors were. And the big doctor examined him. He was there with one of his sons. And the big doctor said, listen, this is a very serious condition. I can treat it. But understand, the treatment is incredibly painful. This treatment is very, very painful. He said, I have to like strap you down. You can't move during the treatment. And the Zeta Reb Matel told him, this is what the son reported, told the doctor, professor, it's okay. Doesn't matter what it is. He says, no. Do you see these metal bars? I heat them up. They're burning hot. I then have to put them different places in your, like this is going to be excruciating. He says, I'm telling you, I got it. Don't worry. You don't need to strap me down. You don't need to do anything. I'll take the treatment. And so the doctor says, okay. The doctor starts the treatments, heats up the rods, starts the treatments. And the Zeta Reb Matel is just lying there on his front, in the back, and he's not moving. He's not groaning. And the doctor is blown away. The doctor tells his son, he goes, does your father have a medical condition? He doesn't feel pain or something? He said, I had a huge soldier from the Tsar's, from the Russian army who was in here. And I strapped him down and he broke the straps. It was so painful for him. He was big like a bear. I don't understand. Said, I don't know. I've never talked to my father about this. I don't know. So after the treatments were over, and the Rebbe of Muttal, the Zeder Reb Muttal, gets up and thanks the doctor says, Rabbi, you have to explain to me. How weren't you shrieking in pain? I've never met anyone like you. And the Zeder Reb Muttal told him, he said, that you know what real pain is? When Jews come to me broken, crying to me hysterically, and I have no way to really help them, that's real pain. This wasn't pain. That's the greatest pain that I have. And once you've experienced real pain the way I've experienced real pain, this is like child's play. This doesn't bother me. That other pain is the depth of really what you feel. And that's what Umata Yado Imach means. When another Jew hands falters, do you join in her pain? Do you identify with her? Do you really feel it? And in fact, some say that this is the message of the mitzvah at the beginning of the parsha. What's the message of the beginning of the parsha? Right? What's the mitzvah of Bahar? Right? Talking about Shemitah. What's the message of Shemitah? Yeah, of course, Shemitah is about Bitachon and Hashem. Of course, right. But what else is Shemitah about?
Parnassa.
Shemitah is about a very wealthy farmer saying, what am I going to do next year? Like, one second, how am I going to live? I don't have enough saved up for everything. You know, I'm not going to be growing. I'm not going to be making money. I'm not going to... How am I going to do these things? And some say that the message of Shemitah, aside from reminding everyone, and we spoke about this on Shabbos, that Hashem controls your parnasa, that all comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. Another message of Shemitah is that the Ashir should know the daigus of the Oni. The rich man should know the concerns of the poor person, of what it is to say, like, okay, how am I going to do this? I'm not working a whole year. What am I going to do? And this is how Shemitah, again, right after Shemitah, comes the mitzvah of tzedakah. Umata yadoy mech vechazakta bo. Because only when you really feel it can you really give. You know, it's a famous story that there was one very wealthy man. Remember the story? I told this multiple times over the years. A very, very wealthy person, Litta. Reb Chaim Brisker went to go fundraise him. I heard it was Reb Chaim Brisker, different people. And there were people, Aniyim, the Poshet, was a very, very cold winter, very harsh winter, ton of snow, even by their standards. And people just didn't have firewood. There were people, mamsh, freezing and couldn't get warm. And so he went to go talk to the biggest usher, the wealthiest guy, and knocks on the door, and the butler comes in, says, the rabbi would like to talk to you. Yeah, sure, bring the rabbi in. No, the rabbi says he needs to speak to you by the door. Right? Why does he speak to him by the door? Because it's freezing. And the guy is sitting there, Rebbe, just come in. No, just another minute. I want to explain to you. No, Rebbe, please, just let's sit by the fire. He goes, no, please, I just want to explain to you one more thing. And the guy is covered for the rabbanim. It's like, can't yell at the rabbi, right? Once upon a time, you couldn't yell at the rabbi, right? Like, so freezing. And finally says, Rebbe, please, I'm begging you, I'm in such tsar. And he says, exactly. Those are the people that I'm coming to ask you to help. Because now I needed you to feel their pain. Now you can really help them. And that's why some explain. Some explain a little bit cynically that, you know, comes the mitzvah of Shemitah, which is all about bitachon. So then when you meet a poor person, like, just have bitachon, it'll be all good. That's why the Torah has to command you. No, That's for you to work on your bitachon. You to work on someone else's bitachon, right? It's like when the Baal Shem Tov would say that everything can be used in service of God. So someone said, yeah, how can kfira, how can heresy be used in service of God? And the Baal Shem Tov says, very simple. When you see a person in pain, someone needs something, don't say God will take care. No, there's no God. You have to take care. That's how you use heresy in service of God. There's no God. You have to do this. You have to take care, right? But so some say that's why, you learned the lesson of Shemitah Bitachon. You see a poor person, you tell them, don't worry, I won't give you a shekel. I'll give you a lesson. Have Bitachon, I'll give you some muzer. Have Bitachon. It'll be good. So that's why the Torah has to say, no. Give tzedakah. You have to do something. But on the other hand, others explain, no, just the opposite. That the mitzvah of tzedakah comes after Shemitah, because Shemitah is when people get nervous. Again, it's hard for us to connect, but in an agricultural society, your parnasa was what you grew. That was, Shemitah year, think about it. Think about the sabbatical year. Like, that's it, right? Again, the dry cleaner is still going to charge you. This one is still going to charge you. But you don't have parnasa coming. Like, what's going to happen? How are we going to eat? So there are real daigas. And you're right. You work. There are real worries. You work on your bitachon over the course of that year. But it should develop in you that sensitivity. Umata yado imach. That when his hand falters, imach, it's with your hand. That you have to feel that faltering itself. And that's really when the very next pasuk, pasuk lamed vav, really drives this home. Because so often, when we talk about real bin adam l'chaveiro, where does real bin adam l'chaveiro come from? Where does this really come from? The ability to feel another's pain. So in pasuk lamed vav, it says, al tikach meito neshech, the person that's struggling, you're going to give him a loan. Don't take ribbis from his, visarbis. Don't take any ribbis. If he needs a loan, you give him a loan. Yeah, you could have made money on it, I know, but the mitzvah daraisa to give him the loan if you can. The pasuk then finishes up, v'yareisa me'elohecha, v'chei achicha imach. And you'll fear your God, and your brother will live together with you. A number of tzaddikim ask, very cute, how do you know if a person really has Yiras Hashem? You know how you know if a person has real Yiras Hashem? Real Yiras Hashem, real Yiras Hashem. Don't look how long they daven. Don't look what kashrus they eat. Real Yiras Hashem. Don't look if they open cans on Shabbos, right? if they pop a soda can on Shabbos, right? They open a bottle cap, right? Real Yiras Hashem. V'chei achicha imach. V'yareisa melekecha v'chei achicha imach. Does their brother really live with them? Did they really take the pain of others? That's what you real Yiras Shamayim. That's how it's really measured. And that's what Rav Volbi talks about in Alei Shor. He says that sometimes people mistakenly think that there's an inverse relationship between Yiras Hashem, holiness, the person's a very holy person, and Ben Adam L'Chavera. Like, the more holy a person is, the more they tremble in God, in front of God, the more they're charedi, the less midos they have. And the more midos you have, you're not as religious, really. You're just like, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro Jew. No. Rav Volbi points out, based on Rabbeinu Yonah, they both come from the same root. What is the root of both Yiras Hashem and real Bein Adam L'Chaveiro? What's the root? The root is seeing outside of yourself. What he says in Hebrew, hakarat hazulat, recognizing that which is outside of you. To the degree that you see God, Yiras Hashem, fear of God, being in awe of God, meaning you see God's presence, that means you're able to see outside of you, right? Like the Gemara in Sota, the beginning of this Masechta Daf Yomi is soon finishing, tells us that God says about an arrogant person, I can't live in the same world as an arrogant person. You know why God can't live in the same world as an arrogant person? The person doesn't make any room for God. That's why, when you're, we've mentioned this before, when you're davening Mincha or Ma'arv in a minyan and there's a Kaddish, so you take the three steps back. A Sefer Seder Ayom says you take the three steps back when you answer Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarech L'Olam Omei Omei. Why? What does Yehei Shmei Rabba mean? God's name should be made big, right? You know what you do symbolically, when you're talking about making God's name big, you take three steps back. You're making yourself a little smaller, meaning you're creating that space for God. That's what we do before Musaf on Shabbos. You're answering Amen Yishma. That's when you take those three steps back. You're making God's name great. It's by making yourself a little smaller. But this is what Revolbi says. He says it's a big mistake. It's a big mistake that people make. And those that have the greatest Bein Olam Chaveiro are the people that have the greatest Yiras Hashem, and vice versa. And that's why the stories of our greatest Sadiqim, the greatest Gedolim, they had the greatest Bein Olam Chaveiro. Whether we're talking about the Zeder and Matul, or Matul Latorsky, the Hornestipel or Rebbe, whether talking stories about Ramosha Feinstein, the chesed of these people were enormous. It was just the sensitivity they had, right? Whether that story about Rav Moshe having his hand closed on the door is true or not. People debate whether or not that story actually happened. But certainly the story happened. This one, we know it happened. When he got a brand new, beautiful shas, the first new svarim he got in so long, someone gave him his gift, very expensive shas, and a Talmud wanted to see it and knocked over the inkwell, and the blue ink spread all over his brand new shas. And Rav Moshe came in, looked in it, and said, "Oh, it looks nice with the blue." That was his response. Like, what?
He knew it by heart. Anyway.
Right. He did know it by heart. That's true. But those that had the greatest sensitivity were the ones that had the greatest Yiras Shamayim. And that's when a person really, you want to develop into a Balas Chesed, if you really want to develop real Chesed of Umata Yado Imach, the way to work on it is work on Yiras Shamayim. That's how you work on it. And again, I'm not talking about having social niceties. I'm not talking about being a good person and being a nice person and a kind person. I'm talking about umata yado imach. Chesed on the level that the Torah describes to us. Again, which is beyond being a nice person. It's a totally, totally different level. And again, it's something that we should all aspire to, of course. Because we know olam chesed ibaneh, this world was created as an act of chesed, and as many say, the greatest way to be godlike is by being a balas chesed, being a person who's giving to others, who feels the pain of others. And in fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells that to us, that whenever a Jew is in pain, Hashem feels the pain of that person. A person has a headache, a person saying, "Oh, what a splitting headache." The Gemara says, "Kaviyachol," it's as if the Shekhinah is saying, "Oh, I have a splitting headache." Someone says, "Oh, my arm hurts." Kaviyachol, it's the Shekhinah saying, "Oh, my arm hurts." Hashem feels our pain. That's the symbolism. And why does the Gemara share that with us? To tell us, yes, how much Hashem loves us, how much Hashem feels us, but also, v'alachta v'drachav, that we are supposed to be what? We are supposed to try and walk in God's ways. V'alachta v'drachav, mahu, hafat, just like God is, so we have to be also. So that's why, when we're talking about getting ready for Kabbalah Satoru, when we're talking about, of course, Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, who, as we learned on Shabbos, right, Tara and the girls here, that they stopped dying on Lag Ba'Omer, right? But don't forget the Maharal. The Maharal who asks, one second, why did they all die now? Why did all these Talmidei Rabbi Akiva have to die during this time? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to send a very clear message. These Talmidim were some big teachers of Torah. These were some important rabbinic personalities, these Talmidim Rabbi Akiva. 24,000. Why did Dafka die Bein Pesach Latzeres? The Maharal explains because Hashem had to send the message that good midos is not just like an added thing to a person who keeps Torah. If you don't have good midos, lo nagu chavodzeh bezeh, there's something wrong with the Torah. The Torah is not whole. The Torah is not really integrated into who you are. And if these are supposed to be the teachers of Torah, it's a chil Hashem. They're misrepresenting what Torah really is. So as we get ready for Kabbalah Satorah, yes, so we won't go into Parshas Bechukosai, the beginning of Bechukosai, Bechukosai Teilechu, Shetiu HaMeilim BaTorah, that we have to toil in Torah wherever we go. David HaMelech says we have to bring ourselves back to Torah. Every experience that we have in life should be seen through the lens of Torah, and not only the lens of, halachic man, when, you see the setting sun, you're like, oh no, mincha, right? You can appreciate a sunset, right? But at the same time, everywhere we go in life, it's supposed to be through God's mitzvos, through God's Torah, that we experience life and we see everything. But before we get there, there's a mitzvah of Shemitah. Before we get to even B'chukos HaTelecha, there's a mitzvah of Tzedakah. There's a mitzvah of feeling the pain of others and making sure that we feel it enough that we get up and we do something about it. Just like Tzaddikim say, you do it for your own kid. You do it for someone that you're very, very close to. We'll end with the story of the Belzeruv. Two Belzeruvs ago, when Rabbi Sacher Dov of Belz, who was the Rebbe before Rabbaron. Rabbaron Belzer was the one who escaped the Nazis with his brother, the Bilgori Rebbe, Reb Mordechai Bilgori. So when Mordechai Bilgori, who was a young man and was being called to be conscripted into the army, so he went to his father, Rabbi Sacher Dov, with a kvittel. Even the Rebbe's son has to go to the Rebbe with a kvittel and to ask him to be mispelled that I shouldn't, that when I go in front of the draft board, they should reject me as a soldier. Right? And so the Belzerov is looking at it and he's krechsing, oi, oi, oi. And he's like getting really upset. And his Rebbetzin goes, says, you worked this for so many people. You're having such a difficult time doing it for your own son? So many people come to you, you look at it, you're like, okay, no problem, they're going to reject you. You knew how to be mitzarif, the osios, how to pull the shtick in heaven. You can't pull the shtick in heaven for your own son. You're having a difficult time. And what did Rabbi Sacher Dov of Belz answer? He said, no, I'm pained over the fact that when I looked at the kvittel in my son's handwriting with his name and your name, he said, I was much more moved by it than when I'd see a kvittel of another Jew. He said, and that's why I'm in pain. And that's what I'm doing tshuva about. And Hashem should help us all. Hashem should help us all. I was we prepare for Shavuos, of course. We're getting ready to be Mekabel Torah, B'simcha, B'ahava, with joy and with love, that we commit ourselves to living lives of Torah. But understand that fulfilling Ratzon Hashem, a major part of it is fulfilling the pain of each other. Shkoyach, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming out Sunday night. I know Sunday night's tough. Sunday night's really tough.